You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
Hey, guys, how you doing over there?
This is the movie show.
On your favorite ORSPS. Yes, saying it slowly does help me pronounce it nicely.
That is Active FM.
On
Active FM.
With your hosts.
I am Sash.
And my name is... Hi, I'm Ryan. I had to go a bit higher there.
Wow.
Didn't sound right just to match the epic voice. So it sounds like there's three people talking.
And today we are discussing how would one survive a bear attack? Very difficult thing. Everyone is going to go through this in their life. They need to know.
Yeah.
They need to know.
So in other words, if you haven't gone through one, you will go through one. At least sometime in your life.
I actually really hope you don't go through one. Like I
haven't gone through one.
Have
you gone through one?
No. So we don't know how to survive one. But apparently, there is a way to survive.
Step one.
Shockingly enough. Okay, there's four simple steps, right? Or four options you have. They're easy. They're easy to remember. Four, I think in a time of crisis like that, when the bear is staring at you in the face, these four things need to come.
That's the best.
Thanks, right?
That's what you hear.
These four things need to pop into your mind.
We're putting people in the room. You understand?
Yeah, yeah. There we go. So yeah. the bear is doing this.
We're programming you to already be in the moment.
There we go.
And we're hoping that the will trigger the... Oh, yes. Step one.
Step one. Okay. Step number one. Carry bear spray. Yeah, apparently there is bear spray.
Oh,
I did not know that.
Where do you get that?
So experts,
Amazon?
I have no idea.
Take a lot.
I don't know. So experts recommend that hikers in bear country carry with them bear pepper spray. UDAP bear spray is highly concentrated spray that creates a large cloud. This stuff will usually stop a bear in its tracks. I hope it doesn't harm the bear, though. Because that would be sad.
I think in the moment I don't care.
Okay. But, you know, that's difficult because, you know, like, you could forget your bear spray at home or you could forget to buy bear spray.
It creates a cloud.
Yeah, apparently it creates...
What if I don't know where I'm going? Or do I just... and then stand still?
I don't know. I think maybe because then the cloud... I don't know. They didn't really, like, give a lot of info on this one.
I'm sure it's on the can.
Yeah, probably. Right. True. Very true.
Next
okay,
step.
Number two. This one you don't need to buy anything for. Do not run. Yes, I just said that. Don't run. When you run, the bear thinks you're prey and will continue chasing you. Don't think you can outrun a bear. They can reach speeds of 30 miles per hour. So stand your ground.
It's about 70 k's an hour.
That's very fast.
No. Sorry, it's less. It's about 15. Yeah.
But still.
That's fast.
That is false. So don't run. I know everyone wants to run, but do not run. Okay, step number three. Drop to the ground in the fetal position and cover the back of your neck with your hands.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Why? Oh, I have the... Sorry. Okay, I don't know if they explain why.
I think the bear thinks that you're done. You're finished. In other words, they...
Why are your hands on the back of your neck?
Because they can scratch. Yeah, they can scratch.
Oh, that's the only, like...
And that's the most vulnerable part.
Mm. So if you don't have bear spray or the bear continues to charge even after the spray, this is your next best defense. Hit the ground immediately and curl into the fetal position.
And don't cry.
Do not cry. Lastly, number four.
Oh, there's four. Cool.
Play dead.
See?
Grizzlies will stop attacking when they feel there is no longer a threat. If they think you're dead, they won't... think you're threatening. Once the bear is done tossing you around and leaves, continue to play dead. Grizzlies are known for waiting around to see if their victim will get back up. Oh, that's freaky.
That makes so much sense.
That's scary.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Wow. Okay. I'm sure we've saved lives right now.
You're welcome. Okay, you're probably thinking, what on earth? I thought I was listening to the movie show. Yeah. You are.
All right.
And there's a movie that has a full-blown bear attack in it. And it is intense. It is actually, they show you everything. They don't even hide nothing from you.
It's brilliant.
It's brilliantly...
I have to admit.
Horrific. So it is the film called The Revenant.
Yes.
Yes. Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Hardy... Yeah?
Tom Hardy, hey?
Tom Hardy.
How crazy.
I hated him, and I don't hate Tom Hardy. I hated him. I was like, this guy needs to die. This guy needs to seriously just die.
I was listening to a podcast by a guy called... and his name just left my mind. But basically, Andrew Price, the Blender Guru, if anybody knows him. Yeah, everyone's going, yeah. And he was introducing a guy called Clint... who used to work at Corridor Crew. He's got his own channel. But anyway, and they were talking about CG in general, and then they went onto the topic of movies, like good movies. And what they said was, like, movies today are just fine, and that's how every movie is. And then they started discussing certain films that really stuck out from them. Now, this was the one film, and they spoke about the bear attack. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, cool. And then I saw, oh, it's available. Oh, we can watch it. Oh, 2015. And the other one was Top Gun, the new Top Gun.
Really?
Because apparently, you know, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Like, they do everything for real. But that'll be in a future show when it gets released. If it's not, I don't think it's
the only thing yet. I'm nervous about, honestly, with that one is that film has been delayed since 2020. In fact, recently we went to watch a movie in cinemas. They played the trailer for it. And you know, 2022, I'm talking about 2022, yeah. We were sitting in the cinema in 2022. The trailer plays, and at the end of the trailer, it had 2020. I was like, why didn't they update the trailer?
Oh, wow.
It's not 2020. It hasn't come out. Right. It's 2022, and we're still waiting for it. So that's the only thing I'm like, what? Because obviously I understand 2020's delay. Yeah. Like, that I get. But it could have come out in 2021.
I think somebody played the wrong... somebody forgot to delete that. You know, they did get updated.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Must have.
Yeah, it was like,
but,
okay.
But anyway, so this film, specifically the CG, because the bear was full CG. And I mean, I don't know about you, but my experience with this film was, okay, the story was a sad story. Well, not a sad story.
The story was quite basic, actually.
It was a very basic story.
It was a revenge story.
But what I loved about this film is the way it was told.
Yeah.
The cinematography, the directing behind it was just like absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I remember watching this film, and at the moment in the Southern Hemisphere, we're in winter. And I remember I watched in my bed with a single blanket, and I was getting a bit cold. But, and I was actually okay, because I was in the film,
I feel you.
And then when I remember, like, watching the movie finished, and then I put the warm blanket, and I was like, this is so good. But really, this movie, like, the way the camera technique, the way, like I love the lens that they used. And there were a lot of one-shotters, which actually weren't one-shotters.
Yeah.
This is the crazy thing about this film. But how did you feel about even the fact that, in a way, they broke the fourth wall in this film? Because the camera's lens would mess up, like with a bear.
Yes.
There were times when blood, like, splattered on the... Like, I mean, technically, there shouldn't be any lens there.
Yeah.
Technically. But it was. But
the ones even Leonardo DiCaprio, like, breathed out. Yes. And obviously, it was so cold that you could see the breath. Mist. And that also misted up the camera.
That's it. And there was also this... I loved the fact... Now, I didn't do research on the type of lens that they used. But I can tell you now, they would have used a lot more of a wider lens. Because everything felt big. Like, their hands, you could see, like, the detail on their hands.
Yes.
The face. Everything was just like, wow. And, like, it was really... But the director apparently is, like, an award winning. He's one of those directors that really stick out. I don't think I've watched any of the other films, which I would actually like to have a look at.
Yeah, after
and look
this
into
one,
that
yeah.
Because it was a very abnormal way of filming, but it was in a way to tell the story and to really put the viewer within the story.
And it was a very difficult way of filming, actually. And the director, you know, they could have done this film easy. They could have been in a green screen studio, you know, like fake snow, big fans, you know.
Exactly.
But they didn't do that. They went and filmed on location, and where they filmed, apparently it was extremely difficult for both the cast and the crew to get there to film. And they were literally, the conditions you see in the film are the conditions that they filmed in. So it's not like they added snow or, do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
I actually saw behind the scenes where they were busy applying Leonardo's makeup, yeah. but they also had that like silver warm blanket so that yes. so that he doesn't get, obviously, so he can stay warm. And
warm,
so,
yeah.
Because he was obviously in costume, so which means that his body was probably, yeah, it was, what is that word? It, you know, like there were parts that were open, that were exposed.
Yeah.
And they couldn't now clothe it up again because he's in costume. Mm. And so they had to cover it up because apparently it took like 4 hours to apply the makeup.
But can we talk about the makeup? The makeup was insanely brilliant. Oh, my goodness. The scene that got me, oh, my goodness, was when he... So he gets... Spoiler alert. He gets attacked by a bear. But he gets... As in, like, he shouldn't be alive after that. Like, literally, it's so bad. It is so bad.
And he did do what we said. I mean, he was laying still, literally.
The only thing I think he did that was a problem was he shot the bear.
Yeah, because it was off.
Because when he
before that he was like okay.
Yeah, and it like left him. I think maybe if he just like lay there, and then like he'd already been hurt.
Yeah.
But like if he just lay
there,
maybe.
I think his foot
maybe
was broken at that point.
Oh, that was intense. Oh my word! I was like ah, and that was makeup as well, hey.
The guy
like
crawled.
They literally show you that they have the like behind the scenes footage, and they have the foot. It's obviously like a prosthetic
you
foot or whatever.
That.
You see like
it was
the
good,
ah!
The way it hung.
No,
yeah.
That was the way it was dislocated. Yeah. And, but the scene that really got me with the makeup was when he's by himself and he goes to the river to drink water and his neck's actually open. It's been ripped open. And as he drinks water, the water goes and seeps through the wound. So now the wound starts dripping with blood. Oh my goodness. I was just like, ah, his neck is bleeding. Well, his neck is dripping water.
Yeah.
No, that was, oh. Literally at some point in the film I literally was like, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to see this. It was that. It's that. Okay, if you're a sensitive viewer, don't watch this movie because it doesn't hide anything.
It really puts you in like
every, even like the fight at the end with Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hardy. Oh my goodness. And it's gory, and it's not like a Quentin Tarantino gory, because his gory is sometimes like an over-dramatized gory. This, for me, was very realistic. Like,
you,
I think this is actually what would happen, because I think we're used to, like, we see wounds in movies, and, like, obviously it's what's been depicted to us, so, you know, sometimes they do it not as much so that, you know, like, children can watch the film, or, you know, they there's a certain sensitivity with the matter that they don't show everything.
Yeah.
This one they didn't do that. They literally just
they were
like,
very detailed.
It was
on
real
specifics.
Life. It was. I literally sat there and was like, I'm so glad I wasn't alive in this time. Like honestly, I'm so grateful I did. Because it was so brutal. It was so like everyone, and I know that the Indians. So this whole story is about them basically taking over America, and you had the native Indians who they called savages, and then you had the French and the British, etc., etc. But everyone was savage. It wasn't, I know they called the Indians savages.
Even amongst friends, they were like,
they were all savage. They were just, it was just, oh my goodness.
I was even at a point confused, because I mean, they're in the wilderness, so it's like anything goes for survival type of thing. And then there's a part when he gets back to almost like base, you know, like camp type of thing. And that, well, that's a spoiler alert. Sorry about that. And then suddenly there's like rules in place. You know, no, we have to go out and go get him and arrest him. He did something wrong. And I'm like,
but
why should you obey the rules? And I think that's why he ran. But yeah.
I also, you know what I also actually liked about the film? It wasn't like a movie. It was like real life. I don't know how to word this. So you know how in a movie when like, so I'll give you an example. At one point, Leonardo DiCaprio's character saves one of the Indians' daughters. And, you know, at that point, you then feel like he then gets chased by the same Indians afterwards. And you feel like in the movie, the girl should show up and then all the Indians stop. And then she's like, no, don't touch him. Do you understand what I'm saying?
He looked after me.
He looked after me.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. He goes flying off a cliff with a horse. I was like, okay, and then only at the end of the film do you see, like, the Indians come back, and then she's riding on the horse, so you know she's okay. She, like, joined her tribe
her?
Again. Yeah, that was her.
I didn't even pick that
that's
up.
Why they, I think that's why they didn't
maybe
touch
that's
him.
That's why they went past.
But they didn't. It's not like they were like, come join our tribe. They just rode past. They, like, just left it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I was wondering about that. I thought maybe because they get, because weren't they looking for Tom Hardy's character?
Why were they looking for him, though?
Because he, there was something with his daughter, the chief or whatever his daughter.
Mm. But he didn't take her.
Look, I wasn't. You see, it's that thing.
The French took her.
So it was the French.
The French took her.
Got
so
it.
He was working with the French to try and find his daughter, but the French actually had. Yeah. So I think.
Maybe she said. So he probably clicked. He was like, when he saw the daughter, it was like, oh, shoot. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But then, like, you know how in films often they romanticize, and I don't even mean like romanticize as in like girl guy. I mean as in like he'll then go join the Indian tribe and he becomes an Indian, and then he shows up one day, and it wasn't like that. It really was like real life. This is what would have probably happened in those. Like it was if you ever wanted to know what America was like at that time, this film is a brilliant depiction, and we don't have a lot of films actually that depict
They're
America
not actually
at this
said
time.
That. You said you don't see a lot of films that base on what happened in America at that time.
This was the 1800s, so 1800 wow. America. That whole oh my goodness,
that was hectic. So. If you thought that there wasn't much CG in this film, because I heard about the bear attack, and I'm like, wow, because, I mean, that's what I said. I mean, we've got to see this film. Apparently, the CG is really brilliant. I never realized how much CG there was in this film, because it actually doesn't look like there's any CG in it. You can imagine, okay, maybe the bear, but maybe that's a tame bear, because it was really, really good.
No, it was insane. The bear was insane.
Every arrow you saw in the film
was CG.
Was CG. They did that, and it makes sense, right?
Because it does make sense.
Because those arrows were like on point. Obviously, they would have done it for safety purposes. There were a lot of enhancements that were done on it, and then there was something called shape shifting, which was done. You see, Leonardo's body apparently was for someone who had been out that long, their body would have gotten.
Yeah.
You would have lost a lot of weight.
Because he also wasn't eating.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
So they did something that's called Shapeshift. Now, the companies that were involved was ILM, which we all know. Like, yay! Woo. There's a studio called Gradient Effects. Those two were basically the two big studios that were involved. And then they had two other companies, MPC, which. And Cinesite. Now, all three of these companies, in fact, all four of them, have been involved in a lot of the Marvel movies. I think, like I said in one show, like almost every VFX studio is involved in like every Marvel movie that you see, because they join together. But there's apparently this thing that they had developed by a studio called Secret Lab. I mean, Sashi, you know the whole procedure of VFX. When you have to do something on one frame, you then have to start again on the next frame. They with Leonardo's body, what they had done was they actually had this cool software where it literally tracks. It's almost like AI technology. So it probably is, but they would take one frame. It would pick up the movement of an actor's body. They would then be able to move, basically manipulate his body. So, for example, they would have to have brought it down, make it skinnier, thinner, brought the shoulders down. And then what that would do, so what it does is it analyzes the body's motion, how the body moves, how the skin stretches, and it creates data off that. And basically, it's like motion capture, but just off a film.
It's insane.
It's crazy. And then what they do is they adjust one frame, they reshape his body in one frame, and then what it does is it runs through and it adjusts the rest of the frames. So that was something that they actually did with Leonardo's body to make him look a lot more like thinner, skinnier.
Can I ask a question though? Maybe it also was because obviously it's winter, so like a lot of the time he was wearing the bear. They took the bear skin and made a coat out of it,
kept
whatever.
Him warm.
Yeah. So obviously that would add. Almost like it would make him look bigger than he is, obviously. But I personally felt like, I don't know if you feel me, like he wasn't skinny enough.
No.
Like he would have been, because I don't think he'd eaten because his neck was open.
He'd eaten smaller little bits of stuff.
And he was, especially, like after he got up and started walking and that, I mean, he was walking, like he was moving across like kilometers of terrain and going through things.
He would have lost a lot of.
And also, when it's cold, your metabolism works faster to try and warm you up, which means your body actually is going to get rid of the food faster in a way, and then will obviously start looking for like the other fat in your body to try and
even at your eyeballs.
So I feel like he should have
been a lot more skinny.
Yeah, like he should have. Like the makeup, maybe also that's the problem, is he had like prosthetic makeup on for the wounds. Like maybe they wanted to focus more on the wounds than his physique. But I just feel like he should have been skinnier.
Should have been skinnier.
Yeah.
I definitely agree.
And I feel like that's difficult to do from like a CG. Well, I suppose they did it with Chris Evans.
They did it?
Yeah.
So it should have been a lot more skinnier.
Yeah. I don't know if he should have lost the weight or if they should. I don't know.
What I will say is if you look at the before and after shots, they did. Because Leonardo's actually quite buff.
Yeah.
He's actually quite. I was just like, damn, dude. Picking on the pounds there, man. What's going on? But yeah, they definitely do. Yeah, they did some work there. Something else is that, you know, the battle sequence in the beginning.
That sequence was insane. Please tell me they did the horse. The horse was, that was traumatizing when they shot the horse.
The horse was obviously, yeah, most of the animals were CG. Obviously they didn't shoot any animals.
Yeah.
No animals were armed.
Okay. Can I just say if you are a sensitive soul, don't watch this movie.
I was
movie.
Thinking about that. I was watching. I'm like, eh.
When they literally shot a horse. I was just like,
yeah. Like I was just walking around.
Why did he even do that? I was just like, what is happening? What on earth?
I think he was wiping out the horses so the Indians don't get.
But still,
don't get their horse.
I was traumatized. I was just like, these people are mad. These
especially the horse that went with him over the cliff.
No, that
as
one.
Well.
That. But then when he cuts, so obviously shame. The horse that went over the cliff, that was horrible. But the fall killed the horse. So, yeah. But and then I obviously understand.
At that point, I was like, oh no, here we go again. Mm-hmm. He's probably legs are broken. He's gonna start again. I'm like, please don't tell me.
Yeah, surprisingly, he was fine. Shame. And then I know, like, he cut open the horse, and I think that would have traumatized people. But he wasn't doing it out of cruelty. He was doing it out of
survival.
Staying alive, and he wouldn't have done it if the horse wasn't dead. So, like, for me, that, but still.
It had to be done.
But imagine sleeping in the dead carcass of a horse.
I can't smell too good, huh? Yeah.
I was really glad there that films don't come with a smell thing, you know, like.
I don't want to smell
like
that.
Like, I was like, nope, I'm really glad that we don't smell movies.
No, definitely. But that beginning battle scene, they had to shoot every day around the same time. For 2 weeks, they shot that whole battle scene. But what happened was that because now you've got alterations in weather, alterations in sun, they had to use CG to remove any changes within the scene. So whether there was sunlight somewhere. Not only that, but that whole battle scene, I don't even notice, it was like a one-shotter.
Yes, it was insane.
So that was multiple shots that they then had to blend together and sort of photo-stitch together to get it that it was basically one whole shot. Obviously, the bear was fully CG. The very tricky part about that bear scene is the interaction between them two.
And it's brilliant.
Which would have, and it felt complete. Obviously, the cubs were CG as well.
I think one of the things, and I know when watching Corridor Digital, they said this, is one of the things that helps is you actually see, like, the bear moving him around, and the camera actually, like, follows him as he's being. Obviously, he was stitched up to wires, and then there was a dude in a blue suit that had bare arms. That's what the VFX artist said. Yeah. So I was like, okay. He obviously interacted so that they could just pick up, like, motion and movements. But Leonardo DiCaprio was moved around by the wires, and then they obviously put the bear in. And they did choreograph it because, like, his movements would have been affected by the bear.
Exactly.
And they needed to know the bear's movements. And, so it was, like, carefully choreographed. And but
in the CG world, the biggest thing is basically reference. If you can get reference, you can work the reference. And apparently they took reference from a bear attacking a drunken man in a German zoo as reference. And then from that, they began to work with the stunt team. And, they...
That's insane. Imagine going to work every day and watch a bear attack a man.
And it makes sense. Because if you watch the reference footage, and they did, they, like, put that whole mosaic, you know, where you can't see what's happening. But you watch the film, how the bear attacked, and you watch that, you can see how they got it very realistic. I mean, it was really, really good.
The film is brilliant. It's just, it's intense.
It's not for sensitive
viewers. It's an intense film. Yeah. It's literally, like, at the end, in the middle of it, I was literally thinking, I don't want to watch this. Not because it was ugly or bad, or it was just because it was so intense and so graphic. And by the end of the film, I was like, sure, it was a good film. It's a good film. It is a good film. But it's just, it's very intense. It's like, they don't hide anything.
I just got to the point when I think after they left him, and then he started sort of crawling, and I saw he was starting to survive. At that point, I thought, look, it can't get any worse. It's dead or live. And then I was like, okay, we're getting somewhere. Yes, okay, survive. And then he He got to the, like, the part of the country where it's, like, sunny and stuff. I'm like, yes. And then he falls in the river and he goes all the way back down to, like, the coldest part. I'm like, no.
But I feel like the river helped him because, like, it got him, do you know what I'm saying? He wasn't, like, crawling. It wasn't, like, energy. Obviously,
well, he
just
learned
had
how to swim a lot more.
Yes, and I know, like, swimming has, but swimming also, you know, like, when people have injuries, like, swimming is a part of, like, the process of healing and, you know, like, teaching your body
like
to,
therapy.
You know, like, physical therapy type of thing. So I was like, but you know what got me was, when Tom Hardy, I hated Tom Hardy. And that's so, I love Tom Hardy.
He did well.
I love Tom Hardy. I hated him in this film. Yeah. I was like, this dude, he's horrible.
What's wrong with
you? He's a brilliant actor. But the scene where he says to, so he basically says to Leonardo DiCaprio, you want to go, let me make it easy for
blink.
You. I'll strangle. And then he says, just blink. I'm like, I literally tried to keep my eyes open.
All you gotta do is blink.
Like, and he actually, Leonardo DiCaprio kept his eyes open for so long. I was like, and then he's still saying he's blinked so slowly. But I was just like, seriously, you're going to tell someone to blink? That's like telling them to breathe. And then you'll, I was just like, really?
I think that was I think he wanted, because
that was the point.
He also initiated the first time, right? When they were trying to get it. What was it, him?
Yes.
He basically said, just close his eyes, cover his eyes, okay. And then,
No, so it was intense.
He wanted him. I must say, Leonardo DiCaprio in this film.
He's acting. The way he speaks.
He was brilliant. This was good. This was definitely acting at another level. Like you said, even the way he...
Your heart breaks for him. Just like, so just to give you some filming info, so they shot this chronologically, which I thought was pretty cool. So that means that normally what they do is they'll shoot sometimes the last scene first, they'll shoot depending on like location or whatever. This one they actually shot from beginning of the film to the end of the film on an 80-day schedule that took place over a total principal photography time period of 9 months. They filmed this movie for 9 months
weather.
in those conditions.
It was mostly snowy, eh?
They literally were in winter for 9 months.
Shame.
This is unusually long production time, and it was due to the cold weather conditions, the remoteness of the locations, and the director and cinematographer's aesthetic plan to shoot only with natural lights for maximum realism. A few shooting hours. This is also crazy. Only a few shooting hours were available every day, because when it's winter like that, you don't get a lot of sunlight, and they had to carefully plan all of the days in advance, and they only got a certain amount of time every day to film. And then the production actually did also fall behind on schedule. As a result, the snow melted during the location shoots in Canada before filming was complete. And so, with summer rapidly approaching, there was no choice but to relocate the entire production to southern Argentina. Canada, Argentina, that's like very far, which there were similar wintry conditions. So the filming, honestly have hated to be on set of this film. Like, this was intense.
Although, think about it, if they were only filming for a little bit every day, at least that gave them a lot of recovery and a lot of time to...
Although, that's a long shoot, Ryan. Nine months of...
So you're away from your family, you're away from your home for a whole 9 months.
And then... this is insane. So at one point in the film, I honestly didn't get this part. You know when that Shami met that other, what was the, they weren't Indian. The Indian, or maybe they were a tribe. Because there were the Rees, which was the tribe that they were running away from. And then there were other, maybe it was just a tribe difference.
Probably.
But he met another guy. And this guy had basically gotten wolves away from killing, what are those animals
Buffalo.
Called? A bison.
Oh.
And then there's fire. Like, there's fire everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And the dude then eats the thing raw. I was like, you literally just have to put it on a stick and hold it for 5 minutes over the fire, and it's cooked.
They eat the liver. Interesting fact.
Okay, no, but this is the gross part. So Leonardo DiCaprio chose, right, to devour a raw slab of bison's liver. As in, what he ate in the film was not...
Do you think when he was choking, when he was going the first time, that was really him?
Yes, even though he's vegetarian. And he actually said he regretted doing it afterwards. But the problem was the other guy was eating the liver raw. So he'd see, and they'd been shooting the whole day. When he then saw what the prop department had created, he was like, no, it doesn't look real. So he decided then to eat the actual liver. But he actually said that he regretted it. He also had to learn to shoot a musket, build a fire, speak 2 Native American languages, and study with a doctor who specializes in ancient healing techniques. And he said it was the hardest performance of his career.
Oh, wow. But it was...
And you know, he gave up playing... I think Steve Jobs, in the Steve Jobs movie, I think it was Steve Jobs, he gave that up for this film.
Ah. good choice.
Yeah, shame.
Definitely.
And then last fact. So according to Tom Hardy, Leonardo DiCaprio bet that Hardy would get nominated for an Oscar for his role in this film, whereas Hardy thought otherwise. The wager was that the loser would be forced to get a tattoo of the winner's choice. It turned out that DiCaprio was right, and a choice of tattoo was a hand-scribed Leo Knows All by DiCaprio. So Tom Hardy has a tattoo somewhere that was hand-scribed by Leonardo DiCaprio that says Leo Knows All on his body.
Oh, what a fun fact.
Right?
Sure. Okay. Wow, that's interesting.
That is interesting. It was a good film. I don't know if you should go watch it.
The way the story... I would watch it again. The way the story was told for me was the type of lens they used, the camera angles that they used. You felt, and you, because I mean, think about the bear tech, how a normal fine film would have put it.
Yeah, true. It would have been cute and sensitive.
It'd probably be like bleh, you see the bear, then maybe some POV, and then the bear like gets shot, and then like long shot, it falls over there, and then eventually they find him, and then next one pop, and then you see him in bandages. He's not gonna survive through the summer. And then they can, but yeah, you saw the detail, like it was.
And when he was breathing and the bear was sniffing, oh my goodness.
Good.
Yeah, no, it was easy.
The close up, the. And you saw like the way the chunks of meat was missing on his fingers.
Oh no, that was
Hey? I mean, every time he like picked himself up, I was like like, aren't your hands sore? Stuff your leg, dude. Your hands, So really, as a viewer, now, and I'm not saying, I wouldn't say it's like watching a real car accident. And you, so it was gruesome, but it is. I wouldn't say that they overstepped the line. Right?
I just feel like they showed it like it is. And they just showed it like this is how it lit. Guys, if you were in a bear attack, this is exactly how it could go down.
Yeah.
This is it. So there wasn't any, like, I feel like if a good example is the car accident, they wouldn't, you know how like with car accidents sometimes they film it in such a way where, you know, like you see the thing in the car hit and then lights go out and
that's then the body falls out.
They would have shown you everything, which can be quite traumatic. I think that's why I'm saying this film is, I'd be interested to actually see the rating, the age restriction on the film, just because I think it could be very traumatic.
Definitely.
To people.
Yeah. A lot of people would have found it.
I don't think... and even like, so his son gets killed. I think for people who have lost people...
That made it even worse.
It wasn't... It's not a feel-good film. It's,
and you couldn't do anything.
Definitely not a feel-good...
You could just lay there and...
It's one of those films where you're literally like... I'm so grateful for my life. Yeah. Like, literally, that's where the film took me.
I did.
I was like, I have nothing to be upset about. There is nothing I must be ungrateful for.
When I finished the movie, I went to tuck my boys in. Make sure they're extra tight. I'm like, I'm so glad. Definitely.
Yeah, no, it's one of those movies that makes you reflect about how good your life is.
Yeah.
Your life cannot be worse than this film.
I just thought, man, if watching this film shows you that if you can pursue through life, you can make it. You just have to.
You know, maybe
through.
If you're depressed, you should watch the film just to, you know, like lift your spirits and realize life's not that bad. Life's actually pretty good. I haven't been attacked by a bear. I haven't been told to blink if
that
I want to look.
Cool. And what he called something? I mean, he called Miles, guys.
Poor Leonardo.
Broken foot. His foot is dragging behind.
No, this thing. Oh my goodness! I was just like, wow.
And it was based on true events, wasn't it?
Yes, except he didn't have... So the real Glass, I forgot his... I think it was Hugh Glass.
I don't even know what his name was, by the way.
I just remember Glass, but I think his first name was Hugh. He apparently didn't have a wife and a son, so I don't think that was true.
Oh, is that all?
But I don't know. I think the bear attack
so
happened.
Everything... Well, I mean, if you think about it, the whole story was
around
centered
the bear
around
attack.
The bear. It's the bear attack which just stuffed everything
this guy
up.
This guy was amazing.
It's the bear attack that stuffed everything up. Yeah, and I mean, I kept thinking to myself, like, is there something that makes this guy good? Is he a good hunter? No. Is he good at... No.
The fact that he was
nothing,
there, for, I was just like,
yeah.
Why did you go there? Why were you there?
Yeah, there's nothing that you can say, oh, this guy's a brilliant tracker, or he's such a good... He knows animals, so nothing. He was just there, and...
He just lived.
Yeah. Finished. At least you know now. Don't reach for your gun. Just lay dead. Over Red Rover. Yeah. And if you see cubs, just lay down in the fetal position.
Yeah. Don't even look for the mother.
That's actually what he should have. Because didn't he see the cubs before the mother bear?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, people. Where there's cubs, there's a mother bear.
Shame, but I felt so sorry when... Okay, the bear attack was terrible. But obviously the bear was just doing what the bear thought. Like, the bear wasn't evil. The bear was just protecting its cubs,
yeah.
Right? So you can't even, like, demonize the bear. But, like, when the cubs... Because the mother bear dies. And then the cubs... Shame. The cubs come and look for the mom.
Yeah.
And, I was finished. I was just like, you know what? This movie's horrible. That was the point. I was like, why am I watching this? And then I had to finish it. I was like, I have to finish this for the movie
show.
Yeah,
my wife also looked... She's like, are you enjoying this, hey? Are you enjoying this? And then she just like rolled over, went to bed. I'm like, I have to watch this.
So you see, guys, what we do for the... We put ourselves through trauma for the movie show.
But it was a brilliant film, though.
Yeah, when you
well
get to the
told.
End, when you get to the end, you're like...
Yes. If you want to know how you should tell a story, look at this. I think the filmmaking part was done so well.
Because the story was very basic.
It was you felt the experience of what the dude was, Glass, what the guy was going
through. This just shows you can tell a story about, you can make a film about anything if you make it right.
Yes. Yeah. If you're a striving cinematographer out there, watch this film. It's not an ordinary film. It's the choice of lens that they use. The fact that they shot in natural daylight. Well, at least you didn't have like a lighting guy. So you didn't have to hire anybody there for the lights, you know.
Imagine getting lights there.
But that was a choice. They knew. Yeah. Okay, natural. And it was good. I mean, there were parts where there was only fire light. I was just like...
I know the only time they did lights was the one time they were filming and the wind was just so bad that it kept blowing the fire out. So eventually what they did, because they had to, they just put bulbs around the fire so that it emitted that. But that was only form of like artificial lighting. Yeah. The rest of it was natural.
But it's a choice that they make to tell a story. It was like, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
So next week, don't worry.
Next week we'll come back with something less traumatic.
Yeah, maybe we'll go something more fairy tale.
There we go. We'll be like, guys, it's a feel good movie.
Princes in with sparkles and the CGI, and there were over 700 sparkling stars used in this film, which the CG team worked tirelessly
on
night and day, 9 months with no family because they were trying to get sparkles across the street.
And this film sucks compared to The Revenant. I'm joking.
Oh yeah, and last thing, the sound was also very good.
Yeah, like, the sound,
you
the breathing.
The water, you heard everything.
What does The Revenant mean actually?
I was actually going to ask you that. Why The Revenant?
I'm searching.
Revenant.
No worries. Revenant means a person who has returned, especially supposedly from the dead.
Right, and with that said...
And with that said and done...
With that said...
Peace!
Till next week.
Hot Presenters.
Hi, this is Gavin Ensign.
The best topics.
How do you turn your house from being just a normal home to a five-star hotel?
The hottest music. Say you love me
tender. The most entertaining presenters.
You are the movie show.
And in your left corner you have Ryan.
And in your right corner you have Bash.
Everything you could ever want in radio.
Radio has never been better.